twists his rhetoric in such a convoluted way that he makes people believe that somehow he's the good guy with 91 criminal counts against him, exposing the evil in others. He becomes a targeted, innocent victim. In his own mind, I think he really believes that, but then also in theirs.
Hello, and welcome to The Shrinks on Third, our psychology and social justice podcast. I'm psychologist Cindy Ariel.
And I'm psychologist Julie Mayer. Come on in.
Julie, let's just get straight to the question of the day. How are so many people backing a presidential candidate with so many criminal questions in his past, present, and future?
Right? What is going on? How is Trump the front runner for the Republican nomination, Cindy? How did this happen?
Trump is facing 91 criminal charges as of January 2024 in Washington, New York, Florida, and Georgia for alleged crimes committed before, during, and after his term in office.
And some of them aren't even exactly alleged. You know, we saw boxes of confidential information that shouldn't have left the White House in his bathroom at Mar-a-Lago.
It's true.
But of course, he argues that he should be immune to prosecution for any and every one of his actions while in office, but also probably before and after.
Authoritarian.
Yep.
He thinks the president should be above the law, and apparently a lot of people agree with him. About half of all Republicans like this approach because they really believe in a strong president who's not unreasonably restrained.
Strong? 91 criminal counts makes him strong? Yeah, it's crazy.
Does make him unrestrained.
He is unrestrained. I agree with them on that. And those same people seem divided on where to draw the lines on presidential power and on what they consider unreasonable restraint. But Trump acts more like he doesn't want any restraint at all.
He doesn't. Mm-mm. The number of people who agree that the president should pretty much get to do whatever they want in their job seems like a threat to democracy.
Right? Because that's the definition of an authoritarian leader.
There are a couple of red flags for weakening democracy. And here we are, a leader who makes it harder and harder for others to influence them and creates general mistrust all around. We talk about our weakening democracy in depth in another podcast, but it's relevant to mention here.
Yeah, he has definitely caused our democracy to weaken. Trump is a master at using misinformation to fuel distrust and polarization, and then using that to his benefit to fuel his campaign.
Of course, distrust of our government and institutions didn't start with Trump. Our country was founded by people wanting a different kind of government than the one they had, which was a monarchy.
And there have been plenty of tensions and scandals since our founding that have threatened our democracy. Like, for example, the Civil War or Nixon's spying and all sort of backroom deals in the government. But it definitely currently seems worse than ever before.
According to a recent Gallup poll, less than 20% of Americans have confidence in newspapers, the criminal justice system, TV news, big business, and Congress. Less than 20%. 50% of us still have confidence in small business and the military. And that's it.
Well, at least there's that. And don't forget the plummeting confidence people have in the Supreme Court. This is all a big show of no confidence in our democratic system as it now stands.
Of course, there are even a significant number of Republicans who don't agree that a president, even Trump, should be able to do just anything they want. But there's also a significant number, too many, who are caught in the middle and just aren't sure.
Don't forget that Trump's first and hopefully only presidency included two impeachments, not one, but two.
Not surprising. There are multiple criminal investigations into Trump in New York alone, some federal ones relating to obstruction of justice, his taking, hiding, and hoarding classified documents, going to the bathroom with them, and refusing government demands to give them back.
There's also his conduct around the January 6th insurrection, plus legal cases involving election interference and his illegal efforts to overturn the 2020 election.
And then the misogyny. More than a dozen women have credibly accused Trump of sexual assault. He even had a case involving hush money payments to a porn actress.
And a jury trial brought by the writer E. Jean Carroll, who alleged that Trump raped her in the dressing room of a New York department store in the 90s. And the jury, this is a jury of his peers, found him guilty of having sexually assaulted her and lying about it. And it didn't take them long to deliberate to that conclusion.
Yeah, they want him to pay over $83 million for spending a long time defaming her by, for example, claiming he never met her and that her story was made up.
And that she wasn't his type, as if rapists only rape their type. Really crazy and offensive.
Any of these things would have been the end of a career for a lot of other people and politicians. Some careers have ended abruptly for much less.
That's so true. Yet so many of his supporters are sticking with him. He has actually increased his lead in the GOP presidential race at the time of this recording. I don't understand it, and it definitely alarms me.
And how can this be? Trump has persuaded millions of Republicans, mostly, that charges against him are just politically motivated tactics by Democrats to keep themselves in power. Most of his supporters never liked the government anyway and definitely dislike Democrats.
And that's made it pretty easy for him to convince them that all the investigations into his conduct are just personal attacks on him and his political supporters and the whole MAGA movement.
Distrusting institutions, from Congress to the media to the legal system, fueled Trump to the presidency because his negative talk about them really resonated with a lot of people. And it still helps him keep his tight hold on the party. How do they not see that he only looks to protect himself and doesn't care about anyone else?
I don't know how they don't see that. They're blind. And Trump's base seems to really buy into his angry rants against, well, you know, anyone or any institution that doesn't wholly support him and isn't totally loyal to him.
He's not wrong in talking about some of the imperfections of other politicians, of our system and our institutions. We can all handle that. He just takes it far below the belt and embellishes with his lies and paranoid imagination. It just gets crazy down there.
It does. He twists his rhetoric in such a convoluted way that he makes people believe that somehow he's the good guy with 91 criminal counts against him, exposing the evil in others. He becomes a targeted, innocent victim. In his own mind, I think he really believes that, but then also in theirs.
Yeah, he convinces people somehow that because of the conspiracies that are all around against him, whenever they hear anything negative about him, it isn't true.
Yeah, that's quite a manipulation that he's accomplished.
That's amazing.
Yeah. He's always claiming he's innocent, and he's actually convinced them that the cases against him are all just, his stupid phrase, witch hunts and deep state conspiracies.
And like a cult leader, which he is,
yep,
his followers will defend him no matter how many times he's put on trial.
Seems true. It doesn't help that Biden isn't especially popular and has not undone a lot of what Trump did during his presidency. He also has played into Trump's base, and now it looks like the two of them are likely to be going head-to-head in the next election once again. At least at this moment, it looks like that.
And because we're so polarized in the United States right now, it's hard to see a clear outcome. Each side truly believes that even if their party candidate may not be the ideal one, he's still the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, whereas one is and the other is just evil. But one difference between them, as far as we can see, is that Biden doesn't show anything like the level of authoritarianism, criminality, and disdain for democracy that Trump is proudly showing.
We can only hope that Trump's legal challenges will affect his shot at winning back the presidency. It seems like That'll definitely cost him some votes, but possibly not enough.
And of course, a pretty significant number of his diehard fans are promising to still vote for him, even if he's convicted.
So it's likely not to be enough.
Yeah.
And another significant number of people aren't sure, these people who aren't sure, if a conviction will matter enough to change their vote.
So they don't care if he is criminally convicted by the American court system. They don't care. This is where I really have trouble understanding them. Because in our country, being convicted by a jury of your peers is a big deal. Why wouldn't that influence them?
I almost understand the ones who think the president should work without interference because they're either diehard fans or extremely mistrustful of the government and surrounding institutions, or both.
And I'm not saying those institutions are flawless, but to distrust them so entirely that you would choose to vote for a convicted criminal?
I know. If it makes any sense at all, it's partly because they really believe that the accusations are false.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense because a lot of them really believe the 2020 election was stolen and whatever other lies Trump comes up with. They also believe past presidents have gotten away with way worse stuff. So the conspiracy witch hunt explanations, well, they just track well for them.
Yeah, it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
So while most Americans don't buy his rhetoric and don't want Trump to be president again, really most Americans, still, it wouldn't be the first time he could win without winning the popular vote.
Absolutely true, Cindy. He's not at all likely to drop out of the race on his own. And as long as his name gets to be on the ballot, he will get a lot of votes.
Trump supporters somehow relate to him, and they like his economic and international policies enough to overlook him being a criminal. They also really like his tough stance on immigration and general xenophobia.
And all his other phobias. No other contender hits all the spots for them the way Trump does. It's all so much hatred and suspiciousness.
We can only hope that as trials and convictions actually happen, the reality of Trump and his criminal behavior will break through the cult leader hype. But we're trying not to be too unrealistic here. There's a good chance it won't make a difference.
That is my worry. It's really disturbing how many voters either don't care about Trump's criminality or they find it less important than getting Biden out of office.
Part of the problem with coming up with rules for the presidency and all this criminality stuff is it's all done by people within the system we already know is flawed and tainted. There's Congress, the Department of Justice, the Office of Government Ethics, the FBI, Inspectors General, the White House Counsel's Office, the Government Accountability Office. I could keep going. The State Attorneys General.
And don't forget the suspect Supreme Court.
More than suspect. These are all supposed to be checking and balancing the office of the president in different ways, and they're all part of the system that's been teetering on the edge.
It's true, Cindy, but before we all stay, you know, in panic mode. There are a number of organizations formed to serve as watchdogs for some of the egregious actions that we have been seeing.
It's true, and we always look for them. Looking for the helpers. There's American Oversight at AmericanOversight.org, which includes over 35 lawyers, researchers, communicators, and other people working across the country to expose misconduct and to hold our government accountable.
And another organization, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, uses legal actions and in-depth investigations targeting government officials who sacrifice the common good to special interests and personal gain. So check these out.
Thanks for listening today. You can find us at shrinksonthird.com and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Shrinks on Third. Until next time, take care.